picture we're going to put up on the screen. And I'd like you to tell me what it represents to you. Anybody? What is it?
Good and evil.
Good and evil? Good guy, bad guy? Picture of black, white hat, black hat? In the old westerns, you know, the good guy always wore the white hat and the bad guy wore the black hat. 1997 brought a little different version of it. I may not recognize it. I don't know if I realized that until I started looking around at that. But, you know, the good and the bad, the white and thing, and the good guy compared to the bad guy. And, of course, the age-old battle, good versus evil. And good is a rather interesting word, and even the way we use it is somewhat interesting. Webster's Dictionary has really several definitions of good. As an adjective, it could be a favorable character or tendency. I have good news, or this is a good land, or he has good looks. A noun is something that is good, the good of our country, our community. It's for your own good. Adverb, he showed me how good I was doing, or I had a good long time. We say things like, things have been going good lately, or the team is doing good this year, or that's good enough. And so this word good is kind of an interesting word, and we have different uses for it. In our continuing series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we find ourselves this morning on good or goodness. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. My goodness. Can you imagine finding goodness in the fruit of the Spirit? And with all the applications of good, what exactly does this mean? In our world today, good can mean average or just okay. It's good enough. In making a purchase, you will often see good, better, and best. This is a good washing machine. This one is better, and of course, this is the best one. They want to sell you that one with all the bells and whistles. Well, we see that, and so what does good mean to us? We see goodness, and how do we understand it? And certainly, the Holy Spirit is not going to settle for you being just good enough if you're thinking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so when we see one of his fruits as good or goodness, it's important for us to understand it, to get a grasp on it. In a biblical sense, good is best, because God sets the standard biblically for good. Psalm 105 says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. The glory of God's everlasting mercy, his magnificent truth that endures for an eternity, reveals the significance of God being good. Psalm 25:8 says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. Good and upright is the Lord. New Living Testament says, the Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. And perhaps Romans 2 will help us see God's goodness. Romans 2, 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? And in reality, we see the standard for good in the very first book of the Bible, and in the fourth verse of the Bible, after God created light, he said, and God saw the light and that it was good. God's works are good. Step by step, as God created the world, he examined it and he declared it to be good. He surveyed the all of creation and said, it is very good. The only thing he said was not good. It was not good for man to be alone. One day, they brought a demon-possessed man to Jesus, and this man was blind and mute. So Jesus cast out the demon of the man, and the Pharisees said that he cast out the demon by Satan, by Beelzebub. And Christ had a reaction to that, and his reply was very stern. It was also very revealing. We see it in Matthew 12, 33 and following. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or make the tree bad and his fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. A tree is known by its fruit. Either if it's a good tree, it'll produce good fruit. If it's a bad tree, it'll produce bad fruit. And a tree is known by fruit just as a believer is known by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You shall be known by your fruit. And it's interesting, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. The more we are yielded to and submitted to Christ and his will for our life, the more we are yielded and submitted to the Holy Spirit, the more of our heart will be full of the things of God. And out of the abundance of the heart, those that's really deep in your heart, that's what comes out of your mouth. And when you're abundantly full of God, your speech will reveal it. And notice that it's a good treasure that God has invested in your heart. That he's placed this good treasure, the things of God. The goodness of the Holy Spirit is worth seeking after and developing. And the goodness of the Holy Spirit's fruit in your life will reflect God. James 1 and 17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God is a good God, and we know that. And he is full of light and truth, and in him there is no shadow, no change, no darkness. And for that, we can be delighted. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. We don't go to God one day and say, man, I hope he's in a good mood, you know? And the next day he's like, yeah, not so much, you know? And he thinks this one moment, the next moment, it's like, you know, forget that. Because, see, we tend to do that. And we even, you can even find ways and be taught ways when to approach people and how to approach people by where the mood is. Or I was reading the other day that said the best way to get an answer to something is after somebody's eaten, because they're more relaxed and they're comfortable. Really, they're Googling this whole thing, the best way to do things, you know. If it's a business decision, do it right after lunch, and because you'll get the yes. And so we don't have to worry about approaching God that way. He is always the same, and thankfully, he's always full of light and truth, and he is a good God. And all the works of God are good, and all the gifts of God are good and perfect. Now, here is something I want all of us to grasp this morning. There are many gifts the Holy Spirit will gift us with. There are many ways the Holy Spirit can gift us and will, in fact, gift you. They're all wonderful, and they're all meant to be a blessing to others. That's the purpose of the gifting of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is not a gift in that it is his maturing your character and behavior in you as you grow in Christ Jesus. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is his maturing your character and behavior in you as you grow in Christ Jesus. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is not a gift. It's his work in your life. It's what he's producing in you. That said, his working in your life is a wonderful gift from God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Can you see that? That it's not a gift. You can get a gift. And you can't earn a gift. You may have the gift of tongues or the gifts of interpretation or gifts of healing, and there's many other gifts, the gifts of hospitality, and those are things that God would give you that you can function in. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, I mean, you know, it'd be really nice if he would give you the gift of love. Some of you could use it, you know, could function a little bit better in it. Or just give me the gift of goodness, you know, I'd be a good person then. It's not a gift, it's working out his character and you become more like him. But it's a gift from God that he would even develop and mature his character in you. And every gift of God is good, and every gift of God is perfect. And when we see one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit as good or goodness, let's be sure we do not underappreciate it. What does it really mean? You know, in times past, we've looked at Psalm 23, and it's really a wonderful psalm. We think of it as funerals because it's appropriate for that, but I've always said it's a psalm for the living. It's a very powerful psalm, and it's full of blessings and promises of God, not the least of which is verse 6. Psalm 23, 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't know about you, but I love that. Goodness, God's goodness, and his mercy. Thank God for his mercy. They will follow you all the days. God is the source of goodness. God sets the standard for what is good. And so we don't get good, better, and best with God. We just get the understanding of the richness of God in good. And I hunger for God's goodness and mercy. I need that in my life, and I rejoice in his wonderful gift of goodness and mercy in my life, and you should as well. Because it says, when you follow God, that goodness and mercy will follow you all of your life. Now, the goodness mentioned in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it's really a virtue of God. It's a reflection of God. And we reflect that wonderful virtue of goodness as we interact with others. As we're good towards others, but we begin to see it has even just a deeper meaning. It's not just being nice to people. This is deep richness of goodness. And Jesus gave us an idea, a little bit of what it meant on the Sermon on the Mount, and it's probably not what you might think. To begin to get just an idea of what this goodness is all like, in Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said this, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven." The goodness of the Holy Spirit is to be exhibited towards others. And if you got this verse like I got this verse, they're talking about your enemy. I think most of us would agree here, that's not always an easy thing to do. Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those that hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. How you doing on that this week? How you been doing? How many people that have been your enemy? That is, you know, an enemy is out to get you, right? You know, we have people that we don't care for as much, or we know they don't care for us. What's the old expression? You have your unsaved loved ones and your unloved saved ones. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and some people was like, you know, but this is an enemy we're talking about here. Not somebody that we don't get along with or we just don't care for the personality. This is an enemy. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. You mean those things that people say things against you? Bless those. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. This seems to go against everything that's in us. And it certainly goes against the natural man. It certainly goes against our inward feeling of just our carnal man, I guess you'd put it that way. And I suspect Jesus knew what our reaction would be, because his very next sentence, we gloss right over. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Oh, well, that puts a little different light on it, doesn't it? God sets for the standard for good, and the goodness of the Holy Spirit reflects God in our lives. And we begin to see this God in our lives and this fruit of Holy Spirit being reflected in the goodness of the Holy Spirit in us. And goodness was a mark of Jesus' ministry. When we think of Christ, you know, we think of him doing miracles and power and all these tremendous things that happen. But we've looked at this verse in years past, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, well enough, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. This goodness of God, he went about doing good to others, blessings with others, and the Father was right there with him. They were right in this together, and the goodness of God was a major emphasis on Christ's ministry. Just the goodness of God. And Jesus acknowledged that good was of the Father. He said, this is where it comes from in Luke 18:18, now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. He attributes goodness to God. And why do you call me good? No one is good. And it's really an important statement by Jesus, because many misunderstand what a good man or a good woman means. Goodness is not salvation. Many believe they are saved by good works. It's a misunderstanding of the gospel and the cross of Christ. We have this balance going on in our head. You know, we're kind of bad one day, or we do sin one day, or we've been angry or lusted or greedy or whatever, or got upset and over here, but we were pretty good one day, you know. We helped the old lady across the street or whatever, you know, or bought our neighbor's groceries or did something. And it's a balancing. God says nobody inwardly is good. And it's misunderstanding. Goodness is not for salvation. Romans 3 and 10 helps us understand a little better. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. And the understanding of it is that without the cross, we will never get into heaven. We are not good enough because of our sin. Your sin has to be cleansed, and you cannot earn your way into heaven. Any good works will not erase the sin that we all have in our lives. Every individual that has ever lived, has ever drawn breath, needs the finished work of Christ. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And in our natural state, in our carnal state, without Christ, there is no one that does good, no one that has the goodness of God. Isaiah said our righteousness as his filthy rags, that we cannot stand before God in the things that we have done because it does not erase sin. Once we are saved, our good works matter and they reflect the love of God, but our good works never earn salvation. And so there's this understanding of this goodness, being have the goodness of the Holy Spirit in our lives and being a good person, having this rich goodness of God in our lives, this love of God, the way that's reflected towards others, and at the same time having good works because of our salvation. So doing good reflects our salvation and reflects the maturing of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't earn salvation. Galatians 6, 9 and following says this, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are the household of faith." See, doing good begins to reflect our salvation, but it reflects His goodness of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life. But understand the difference. The goodness of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is a character quality He is producing in our lives. That's different from good works. But because of this goodness of God in your life, this goodness of the character of God being developed in your life, your good works will reflect that. But I hope you begin to see the difference. There's a basic character of goodness that He's developing in you. Good works are an outpouring of the goodness of God's character in you. God is a good God. And we speak of a godly man or a woman with that term. We say they are a good man or a good woman. We're really saying we see God in them, in their character. Now, to be sure, there are many good people, if you will. This is how we use the word good. There are many good people in this world who do not know God. They are good people not in their righteousness, for that's impossible without God. They do good in that they care for others. They do good and benevolent things for others, but that is not a holy good created by God in them. And so you begin to see this goodness of the Holy Spirit is not as the world looks like it. That's a good car. That's a good chair. This is a good drink, you know, good water, whatever. It's a whole different understanding because God set the standard for good. God is a good God. And it's such an interesting word the way we use it, and we just gloss over it and forget that He's developing this in our lives. The goodness and the purity of the goodness of the believer is only found in Christ and only matured by the Holy Spirit. And all too often, we settle for second best. All too often, we settle for good enough. And we confuse the world's good with God's good. God's good goes much, much deeper. You know, as believers, we are not called to live in a gray area. We're called to live daily in His presence. We're called to become more like Him on a daily basis. And sometimes we think, you know, we're growing in the things of God, and we're doing a little bit better than we were, and we're starting to embrace His truth, and that's good enough. And that's not what God's saying. He wants you to go deeper. If God is the standard of good, if loving your enemies and blessing those that hate you and all that goodness of God is part of the richness of His depth, how are we doing? And that's where He's drawing us as He's developing this fruit of the Holy Spirit. It takes time. I have an old friend of mine that has a saying. He'd say, you know, I've always heard we're supposed to learn something new every day. He'd say, I'm so far behind, I'll never get caught up. I can kind of relate to that. Thank God we don't have to think like that. God is always working on our behalf. And some use the excuse, this is just the way I am. You know, I'm always going to be this way. I'm never going to change. My father was like this. My mother was like this. Or, you know, it's just how I react. It's okay. It'll be fine. I have other qualities. And that's not good enough. That's not what God wants for you. And I'm glad that no matter where you're at in your walk, no matter what age you are, no matter how long you've been with God, that He is still working on your life and in your life to produce the works and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit declares to us that we don't have to stay the way we are. In fact, the working of the fruit of the Holy Spirit declares to us that we shouldn't stay the way we are. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. Romans 8:28 tells us this. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. I'm thankful that our good God is working good out in my life and in my character. And I know by the grace of God, He's doing the same in your life as well. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. He has a plan and a purpose in your life. If you love God, then you can be reassured that He is working good in your life. You are called for His plan, His purpose, His what He desires for you. And part of that purpose is to develop the goodness of God in your heart. Let's worship God this morning together. Stand and worship God.